It's a good day. Welcome to Pastor Paul and to Charlie and Rob. We're glad to worship together, whether you're worshiping at home or on vacation or here in the space. We're glad you're here with us. You'll find in your bulletin a connection card. We invite everybody to fill that out and then place it in the offering plate as it comes by later in worship. There are some opportunities that are mentioned on that connection card that are described more fully in the bulletin. We've got lots of fun things happening this week. There's a youth movie night on Friday. The Faith and Family Small Group, which is children's ministry families getting together, is also happening on Friday. Many of us are going bowling after church today. If that is you, we invite you to leave church around 11:30 to get to the Station 300 by noon. So if you're doing that today, we invite you to head out around 11:30. But before we go bowling, we are going to have a time downstairs in our fellowship hall to welcome the Dukes back. And so we invite you to make your way down to the fellowship hall. When you come out down the ramp, head to the right and downstairs. We ask that you join us for a warmly welcoming Pastor Paul back. Next Sunday, we are having a small group discussion, or maybe it won't be so small. We'll have a group discussion led by Paul of the book Lament for a Son. If you read it, great. If you don't read it, that's fine too. We do have more copies of the book available out in the hallway. So if you would like to get a copy today, I think it's a book that you could read in a week if you'd like to pick it up today and read it before next Sunday when we'll have discussion together. So you can find those available and how to purchase it out at one of the ministry stations. So, Paul, welcome back. We're glad you're here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am so thankful today to come home to you, my church family. And to do so along with Rob and Charlie. In a way, we have not been apart from each other during these weeks of my physical absence. I have been most keenly aware of your prayers for us. Many of you have reached out to us. I am so thankful for the kind of church that you are, and not just to me, but to countless others in the community and elsewhere, and to each other. I want to thank especially Zan Morgan and Kat Becker, whose leadership in the ongoing life of this church has been just phenomenal. I want to thank the many members of this congregation who keep just rising to the occasion, not just to do the ministry of the church, but to expand it and make it better during a pastor's absence. And special thanks, of course, to Heather Entrecken, who is literally a godsend, and who has not only gotten who has not only helped us all to get through this time pastorally, but has managed also to lead us and point us toward the future of this great congregation. I return to work tomorrow and will be back in the pulpit, or as I call it, the saddle, next Sunday. I am so, so thankful, and bless you all.
Will you join with me now in our responsive call to worship? I bless the Lord who gives me counsel.
Amen.
I keep the Lord always before me. You show me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy.
What we need. We surrender our worries and burdens to you as we sing and speak. Give us peace as we worship together and listen to your words of wisdom and hope. Amen.
Spoke to the crowd. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man who had God's approval. God did miracles, wonders, and signs among you through Jesus. You yourselves know this. Long ago, God planned that Jesus would be handed over to you. With the help of evil people, you put Jesus to death. You nailed him to the cross, but God raised him from the dead. He set him free from the suffering of death. It wasn't possible for death to keep its hold on Jesus. David spoke about him. He said, I know that the Lord is always with me, because he is at my right hand. I will always be secure. So my heart is glad and joy is on my tongue. My whole body will be full of hope. You will not leave me in the place of the dead. You will not let your Holy One rot away. You will always show me the path that leads to life. You will fill me with joy when I am with you. Fellow Israelites, you can be sure that King David died. He was buried. His tomb is still here today. But David was a prophet. He knew that God had made a promise to him. God promised that he would make someone in David's family line king after him. David saw what was coming, so he spoke about the Messiah rising from the dead. He said that the Messiah would not be left in the place of the dead. His body wouldn't rot in the ground. God has raised the same Jesus back to life. We are all witnesses of this. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
A happy, happy day for us as we welcome individuals and households who are coming to make their new membership in our congregation official and public. And I invite all of those whose names are listed in the bulletin as avowing their new membership to come and stand with us here on the chancel. I count 10. Aren't they beautiful to behold? Their photos and their autobiographical statements are written in your bulletin insert, and I hope you'll take a good look. What I'm about to say them only barely skims the surface, but I do want to introduce you to them in some out loud way here. Closest to me is the Armstrong Spotts family. Wonderful, wonderful people who have been part of our church family since, what did you decide, 2018? Who knew they weren't official members already? They have been so much part of the spirit and life of our congregation since then. This is Sarah, that is Will, and this is also Samuel and Lucas. Both the adults in this family are in fields of education, both particularly in creative forms. You can read about it. I will say that Sarah's specialty is theater, and she's going to bring some drama to our congregation. And that when Will says he's an extrovert, he really, really means it. Standing next to them are Joe and Joanne and Brummett. And Joe in particular has been attending our church for a few years now. He has come, and the family, some of it has come, after years of serving and belonging at the Cherry Hill Baptist Church, also an American Baptist congregation in Dearborn. That church came to the end of its days, and these good folks were recommended to us and we to them, and we were so glad to welcome you. Thank you for joining us. Beside them stands their daughter, Jody Lynn Wood. Jody Lynn has been to seminary and has served as a pastor and currently serves as a hospice chaplain. It is good to have more clergy power in the congregation. Standing next to her is her sister, Karen Rayner, who began attending in 2017. And I would have thought for sure was an official member of this congregation. But when I called to ask her about her parents, she let me know that she hadn't done it yet either. So she comes today. She's the mother of two teenage boys. I'm sorry, one boy, one girl. I'm confusing with the Armstrong Spots. Karen also is in education and is currently finishing up her doctoral work at EMU. Raised again in the American Baptist tradition and singer in the choir. And among the more important things she does around here is to coordinate and enlist volunteers for our feeding ministries at the Hope Clinic in Ypsilanti. Karen has done wonderful work already there, and we thank you. Standing next to her is Karen Richner. Did I say Karen? That is Sorby Richner. Well, it's Karen to Karen to Karen, and I'm new here. Give me a break. Sorby began to be part of this congregation before COVID began, but just before. And I'm going to tell the story of your showing up. I hope it's okay. She was looking for an Ash Wednesday service to attend that year. And there was a bad snowstorm, and there were churches around us that she might have attended who didn't have their service that night because of snow. But we held on to ours. She looked up who was open and came and worshiped with us that night and kind of liked what she felt here and has been with us ever since. Many of us got to know her online in the poetry and faith class where she appeared in Zoom with many of us for a long, long time. She has sung in our choir. She has worked and is working still for now in food industry operations in Ann Arbor. She is a native of Ann Arbor. What she did not list in her autobiographical statement is that she's also a composer and a poet. And her first name is Sorby. Standing beside her is Dan Walden. I'm new here. Walden, whom I have had the privilege of getting to know because he's been attending, as has Sorby, some of our after-worship discussion groups on the sermon and the service and on our life together. Dan is a classicist. He teaches classical Greek and Latin and teaches classical texts. He has done that here at the University of Michigan and has done it elsewhere as well. He is a choral singer. He is currently the tenor leader in our church choir. Thank you, Bonnie Kidd. He is coming today as an affiliate member. His home in faith is the Roman Catholic Church, for which he has been a fantastic exponent in our discussions. And I love it when we have an ecumenical congregation here, which we do. He publishes articles in highly regarded journals and is an excellent writer. And there they are, the ones who come to join us today, and we have a question for them, and then there's words from you. Are you all able to see a bulletin? Yes, you are. Here we are. These words are to you. We gladly welcome you into this church home. We pledge to learn with you, to serve with you, and to grow with you in the family of Jesus Christ.
We accept your welcome and offer our lives to love and serve with you to the glory of God.
We are all made richer in faith because of your joining us. May the Lord Jesus Christ strengthen us, good friends to each other, and fully faithful to the calling of God on our lives together. We welcome you.
Children, I invite you to come forward now for time as children. Come on and join Lucas and me. Good morning. So, we heard in our readings today, Finnegan, you want to come sit by me? Come sit up here. Yeah, sneak through. We heard in our readings today that God is at the purple hand of Jesus? What? No. Did we hear that God was at the green hand of Jesus?
No.
No. That's not what Lincoln said at all. No. We heard that God was at the right hand of Jesus. What does that mean to say that God is at the right hand of somebody? Do you know? Do you know what it was? It means when we say somebody's at the right hand. No, this is your right hand. What do you think? What if I say Finnegan is at my right hand? Is he close to me or far away from me?
Far away.
Oh, is he far away from me? No, he's right here close to me. He's close. He's at my right hand, and Finnegan is very close to me. If Finnegan is right here at my right hand, we're close. Is he working against me? No, he's working with me. We're partners together. Maybe he's cheering me on. Maybe he's helping me when I'm trying to make it through a hard space or a hard place or I'm having big feelings. We hear that God is at the right hand of Jesus. At the right hand of Jesus. And I've been thinking about how Pastor Heather and Pastor Paul have been at each other's right hand. They've been supporting each other. They've been meeting every week while Pastor Paul has been on this time of a break. They've been meeting together. They've been working together. And now it's time for Pastor Paul to come back here to First Baptist and be with us. They've been kind of working like God and Jesus do. No pressure. No pressure. But God is at their right hands, and God is with us. So can you put your right hand up? This is kind of a tricky job. This is my right hand, but if you're facing me, it's going to be on your side this way. Can you find your right hand? It really doesn't matter. Yeah, we could also say God's at our left hand, but we often hear God's at our right hand. That, yes, God is present with you. So can you put your hand way up high? Ooh, remember, God is with you here. Ooh, then can you stretch out your arm without bonking the person next to you? Stretch it out as far to the side as you can. Stretch, 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 stretch. Yes, God is near you and with you. And then can you also stretch your right arm down to remember that God is with you? Sometimes when we're not feeling great, sometimes we don't feel so great, but God is there too in the downs. Ooh, okay, so God's with us in the ups. Ooh, stretch. God's with us every day in the in-betweens, and God's with us too in the when we're feeling kind of low. Okay, will you repeat after me? We're not going to thank God for being our green hand, because that's not what we're saying. Right hand, right hand. Are you ready? Put your right hands up. God, will you repeat after me? God, thank you for being with us in the ups of life. Okay, stretch your hand out to the right side. God, thank you for being with us every day. Good, now stretch way down low. God, thank you for being with us in the lows of life. Okay, now, since we talked about dramatic, will you go up and then all the way down? Yeah. Do it again, do it again. God, thank you for being with us. Oh, all the time. Oh, it's so good. Let's do it one more time. Feel it in your bodies. Hey, grown-ups and teenagers, you can do it too if you want. Oh, reach up. It's good to remember that God is with us. Oh, reach up high and all the way around. Amen. Let's head to church school together. You ready? Let's go for it.
Present in all our departings, you meet us in all our returning. God of our living and our dying and our living again. We come to our prayers with arms full of need. We bring before you our weariness, our uncertainties, our weakness, our struggles, our guilt, our regrets. We bring also our distress and anger over the madness of the world around us, the corruption and violence, bigotry, falsehood, the twistedness of so much that is said and done and not done. All of this we bring in our prayers. And we do so not in the belief that you will banish it all or cure it all or relieve us of it all. We do bring all those needs of ours and of the world in the faith that we can lay them down into the light of the perfect love that is you, that we can offer them to your purpose, which is good, and that your Spirit is powerfully now at work toward healing, toward justice, toward new life, toward good. And so our prayers are also filled with joy, hope, and praise. We pray now especially for your help, as we have done so often before. Your help against the epidemic wickedness of gun violence in this nation. And we name before you this week's victims, shot dead in Louisville, for the loved ones of Tommy Elliott, Juliana Farmer, Jim Tuck, Josh Barrick, and Dina Eckert. And we add these to the horribly long, long list of murdered children, students, countless others. We pray again for an awakening and humbling and courage of lawmakers and others to do what is necessary to bring such madness to an end. And we pray now for these, known to some or to many in our congregation, and who are under times of special need as we pray. We pray for Jill Damon, Marlene Francis, Mary Margaret Hatt, Betty Gersler, Marilyn Marsh, Esther Floyd, Lauren Bowen, Grange Burnside, Graham DePriest, Fred Vanisol, Esther Slaughter, Allison Lovell, Mia Germano, Tom and Terry Rubenstein, John Rowe, Faye Key, Chris Ledyard Argus, and Jackie. And now in silence, we offer to you our personal prayers. Merciful God, open our eyes to see your face among us. Open our ears to hear your new word to us. Open our minds for new understandings. Open our lips to sing your praise. And open our hearts and our hands to do the works of love that your Spirit is calling us to do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who has taught us to pray together, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
If you are able, I invite you to stand for the reading of the Gospel. When it was evening, on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the words of the poet Jim Harrison, winter is black and beige down here from drought. Suddenly in March, there's a good rain, and in a couple of weeks, we are enveloped in green. Green everywhere in the mesquites, oaks, cottonwoods, the bowers of thick willow bushes the warblers love for reasons of their branches or food, the tiny aphids they eat with relish. Each year it is a surprise that the world can turn green again. It is the grandest surprise in life. The birds coming back from the south to my open arms, which they fly past, aiming at the feeders. Spring is hope. That's what a friend said when I posted a picture of the cherry tree bursting with blooms in the church courtyard. Resurrection hope is what we celebrated on Easter Sunday, and what now the disciples can't stop talking and teaching and preaching and writing about. The grandest surprise in life. We live in hope, they keep saying, and it is the theme of this 7-week Eastertide that began last Sunday. What is hope? Well, it's easy to miss the meaning and the power of the hope that grabbed the fragmented, beaten-down little bunch of Jesus followers and transformed them when we think of how we usually use the word. I hope Michigan wins. I hope it doesn't rain or snow. I hope I turned the stove off before I left the house this morning. These are pale and puny expressions of hope that don't change anything. Or we speak of hope when we mean optimism. But optimism sits on the surface, looking for something positive in everything, even hopeless situations. Optimists say, cheer up, things will be better tomorrow. But the truth is, some things will not be better tomorrow. Hope lives with reality. A friend and colleague, well acquainted with sorrow, says, despair is pain crying out for hope. It's when we've lost something or someone we love that unexpectedly hope can grow, needs to grow, has room to grow. It's like grief plows and waters the ground so hope can take root. No matter what we do, creation keeps showing us. In Japan, wildflowers grow in the far, cool mountains where clay is taken to make bricks for the city below. Hiroshima. The walls of the houses and the shops and the temples in that city held dormant trumpet flower seeds. When the atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, killing some 100,000 people, the heat was so intense it melted the bricks. And so it was that in the midst of that unspeakable destruction and despair, mountain wildflowers began to grow and bloom. Hope may seem fragile and insignificant, that thing with feathers that perches in the soul, as Emily Dickinson called it, but no. Living in hope brought the disciples to faith that the resurrection was not just a one-time miracle, just a one-man experience and done that they were supposed to believe in to qualify for heaven. They came to understand that God must be so vast, limitless, transcendent, and all-comprehensive that there is no thing and no one outside the reaches of God's love. Howard Thurman's words. And they began to live accordingly. Why do we lose hope? Esau Macaulay wrote a column in the New York Times on hope, hate, and the most radical claim of the Easter season. As a kid who grew up in the violent slums of Chicago's South Side, he clung to the safety and dependability of hopelessness. He found that it made life easier to believe that everyone who loves us has some secret agenda, that racism will forever block the creation of what Martin Luther King Jr. called the beloved community, that the gun lobby will always overwhelm every attempt at reform, that poverty is a fact of human existence. Despair allows us to give up our resistance and rest a while, he said. Hope may be a thing with feathers, but it is dangerous. Macaulay goes on, it calls us to relinquish our hostilities and believe in the possibility that things might be different, like Jesus did. It insists on changing you. Hope pulls you out of yourself and into the world, forcing you to believe that more is possible. In every telling of a resurrection story, the risen Christ transcends doors, walls, spaces, water, air, times, always interacting with those followers, always interacting with matter. He grills fish for breakfast on the beach. He stands in the garden. He keeps showing himself. It's fair to say that the disciples didn't start out on Resurrection Day loaded with hope that that would be so. There are locked doors, doubts, lack of recognition, but even a pinch of hope was enough to cause them to listen to the women, to gather in the room, to wait, to see, to recognize the one who could show them that death was not the end. I asked some First Baptist members what they hoped for our church. And in so many words, and sometimes tears, they named what is written on the wall inside the front door of our church that most of you walked past this morning. 10 hopes, responses to the resurrection we claim for our church in this time and this place. Respect all people. Honor questions. Be real. Nurture community. Listen to children. Do justice. Share what we have. Care for creation, grow in faith, and at the top, follow Jesus. The resurrection story, the grandest surprise of all. We are the next chapter. Let us live in that hope and see what happens. We have an opportunity to give now. May our giving be an expression of the hope that lies within us because of the mercy of God.
Thank you.
reconciled, beloved followers of Christ, let us give the blessing of peace to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you. Go now into the world in hope, and know that there are words of hope and healing that will never be spoken unless you speak them, and there are deeds of compassion and courage that will never be done unless you do them. Amen.